You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Carlin, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776. We are just getting rolling tonight, and there's so much to get to. Later in the program, we talk to the one and only Stu Gatz, John Wiener, of course, of the Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz. That's a little bit later on. We're going to have some laughs with him. Always an entertaining guest and a big-time Jet fan originally from Port Washington, Long Island. So very much looking forward to that. We will get to why Tony Romo is going to play a major role in the New York Giants' success or lack of success this year. And so much more to get to, including baseball, where they stand right now, and when we might expect to see some. But I got to tell you, I'm normally not a big list guy. I don't love ranking, you know, players as all-time greats and where they come down and such. But occasionally, you'll get me sucked in because I get fascinated by how certain players get ranked or certain teams get ranked. And as you know, ESPN.com did the top 74 NBA players of all time. And I am blown away by some of the decisions that are made, including in the top 10. Now, what would you expect? You'd expect Jordan. You'd expect LeBron. You'd expect Kareem. They're all right there in the top three. Bill Russell's right there. Magic's in the top 10. You know, Wilt, Larry Bird, all there. But they have Kobe Bryant all the way down at ninth all time and Magic Johnson listed at fifth. You know, you can throw LeBron at the number two spot if you want, because I truly believe that LeBron would have had success if he would have had the same level of success playing in the era that Jordan and some of the other all-time greats Magic played in, when they didn't call every single foul and you had to be more of a physical force. Why? Well, because LeBron is a physical force. He is a marvel. There may be, besides maybe Wilt, no more physically gifted basketball player to ever play in the NBA. LeBron is just at 6'9", and his ball handling ability and everything that he does at 270 pounds, getting up and down the floor like he does, as explosive as he is. Of course, you can put him at the number two spot because, God forbid, we anger any millennials. But, you know, never mind the fact that he's 3-5 in the finals. But, okay, he got to all those finals too, and that has to count for something. But when you slide Kobe Bryant all the way down to ninth, and you have the audacity to put, oh, I don't know, Magic Johnson at fifth, Magic's great. Don't get me wrong. He's a top 10 player of all time. But think about this for a moment, and think about how utterly ridiculous that this is. Kobe won his championships with Shaq, and then he went and did it with a completely different cast and went to seven finals altogether. When you have Magic Johnson, you have a guy that did some incredible things. As a rookie, played in a game seven or a game six, a deciding championship game for the Lakers in the finals, and played center when Kareem was out that game and had 42 points. I mean, it was an unbelievable achievement for Magic Johnson. But let's call it what it is. Magic Johnson never won a damn thing without Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's just fact. Throughout his entire career. So you can't rank one of those players third and the other one fifth when you have somebody like Kobe Bryant who has gone and done more. You know, when I say done more, I mean done more with less. You know, Magic and the Showtime Lakers are an all-time great franchise. They're an all-time great, how do I put it? Well, they're a dynasty. There's no getting around it. They're a flat-out dynasty. They're amazing. But when you have two of the top five to six players of all time, how can you possibly take a guy like Kobe and put him all the way down at the bottom when he won just as many championships as Magic did, and less trips, by the way, and went and put himself and did it with two different cast of characters. Man, I didn't think I could get this annoyed by a list, but that really jumped out and annoyed the heck out of me. You want to put Larry Bird at 7? That's fine. The guy won, what, 3 straight MVPs? Absolutely. You want to put Shaq at 10th? Okay, I'm not going to argue it. There are some other rankings that are just flat out absurd. Like Jerry West at number 16, Isaiah Thomas at number 31. I mean, those are insulting when you put some of them in there. You're going to put Bill Walton on the list when he missed 3 entire seasons because of injuries. You know, you look at this list on ESPN.com, and I'm completely blown away by some of the decisions that are there. I really am. I'm sorry, I can't call Steph Curry the 13th greatest player of all time. He's one of the top shooters of all time, if not the best pure shooter of all time. He is not the 13th greatest player in the history of this league. I mean, come on. Steph Curry is not Dr. J. Let's be clear. Steph Curry is not Jerry West. Jerry West is averaging 28 a game. He's the freaking logo. We're going to put him in front of Karl Malone? No. No. You can look up and down the list and find so many things to argue with. Patrick at 37. I mean, 37. That's ridiculous. Isaiah at 31. You're going to put Patrick behind James Harden? James Harden's a great player, but I mean, you know, Patrick was a dominant force in the league. So there's a lot of different things that you could argue here, but I just get sick and tired when I see things like that where you're trying to compare apples to apples and you just can't. It's apples to oranges. It's different eras in which guys played. And there are not as many players as you would think to have the same success in another era. You can't just take it as a given. I'm not saying they'd be bums, but there are some guys. I don't know how great Steph Curry would be if he played in the 90s. I think he'd be an excellent player. I don't think he'd be a great, great, great player. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I think Durant would be a great player. I don't know if James Harden would be a great player. Already we're putting Giannis in the top 27 of all time. All right, he's been in the league for 7-8 years. He's an unbelievable talent. And when he finishes his career, he could be in the top 10 to ever play. But, you know, it's times like this where the memory runs short. And I'm not talking about guys who were playing back in the 40s and 50s. I'm talking about guys in the 90s and a little bit more than a decade and a half ago. This is not hard to remember. And as amazing as Magic Johnson was, the greatest point guard of all time, and to me, one of the most impressive feats ever to do what he did as a rookie, to win a championship for the Lakers, to score 42 points playing center. I mean, damn, completely out of position, you did whatever it took for his team to win. Amazing stuff. But some of these other decisions are just mind-boggling on these lists. I can't stand Isaiah Thomas. He's better than the 31st player, 31st best player of all time. He just is. One thing I will say, and I don't want to hear otherwise. You know who's not on the list? Carmelo Anthony. And that's the right call. He should not be on the list. I don't know. Did Giselle, did we ever get an explanation as to why it was 74 was the number?
It's the 74th anniversary of the NBA.
Ah, thank you. 74th anniversary of the NBA. So there you go. So these are the 74 greatest players of all time. Melo's not in the 74 greatest players of all time. He's not.
He could be 75.
Maybe he is, but he ain't in 74. And that's what I see. That's what I see right now. I'll tell you, some of them are just unbelievable that you would put them in this same category. But I was blown away by the Kobe decision. Blown away. You're going to slide that guy down to ninth? That's embarrassing. 7-Eleven, it's Carlin. Just getting started. 800-919-3776. Let's debate this because, like I said, I'm not normally a list guy, but when the lists get to the point where they aggravate me enough, I want to get into it. So by all means, let's do it. We got open lines. Let's hit it. I will tweet out the list right now in case you haven't seen it. But as you would expect, Jordan 1, LeBron 2, Kareem 3. So there you have it. Just, and I know lists are made to create debate and all this, but oh my God. Come on! We're better than this.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
800-919-3776. Mike in White Plains starting us off here tonight on 98.7. Hello, Michael.
Carlin, big fan. Love the show. Longtime listener. Listen, okay, here's my thing. The top four, it should be MJ, LeBron, Kobe, and Magic, and here's why. You're not giving Bill Russell or Wilt or Kareem the last second shot. There's a reason why none of them have any buzzer beaters. You're not throwing them the ball if you're down two or you're down three. Those four guys.
I don't know that I would say that that's true. I don't know that I would say that about Wilt or
what game winners does Kareem or Bill have? Let me know.
I understand. I'm not saying that you definitively are not getting them the ball. They're dominant. Kareem's the all-time leading scorer in the league.
So if you take it at that, if they can't win you the game with one shot, then what good are they? Now, I'm not saying that they're not great.
What good are they? That's a little rough, all right? You're talking about the all-time leading scorer in the league and another guy who's won 11 championships.
Who did he play against?
Oh, stop.
Who did he play against?
Oh, my God. You're talking about 11 championships.
Top four, those top four, it should be that because they can win you the game with one shot, and that's what makes them so great. You look at Kobe's game winners. You look at LeBron's game winners. Now, I know he doesn't have a lot. You look at MJ's game winners. Magic didn't have that many, but in the last second, they weren't throwing Kareem the ball. They were throwing it to Magic. That's why those top – that should.
Well, they weren't throwing it to Magic. He was the point guard. He was controlling who was getting the ball. But, look, that aside, what I will agree with you about is this. Kobe needs to be in front of Magic Johnson. There's no my big argument against Magic or against Kareem for that matter. Kareem did more without Magic. Magic never did anything without Kareem in the NBA.
And what people have to remember is after Shaq, it was just Kobe. He was playing with Smush Parker,
and he did it with a completely listen. When Paul Gasol was the number two, Kobe did it with a completely different cast and won two more championships. Thanks for the call. See, that's why I'm putting him up there. That's why Kobe deserves to be up there. There's no doubt about that. But I'm not going to toss aside Kareem. I'm not going to toss aside Wilt or Bill Russell because, as you say, they're not getting the ball at the end. Well, teams are also doing everything they can to make sure they don't get the ball. Come on. Kareem's the greatest scorer in the history of the league. The history of the league. And that's what you want to say. I mean, that's where you lose me. That's where you absolutely lose me. Kareem was as dominant a player as you've ever seen. And frankly, you sound like you were too young to see him. Now, I saw him, I would say, the tail end now, the last 7 or 8 years of his career is when I was paying attention as to the NBA. You know, I got into the NBA around 81, 82. So I saw the last 7 or 8 years of his career. And he was still a dominant player. He absolutely was. All-time leading scorer in the history of the league. I'm not getting him the ball. He's not getting it down the stretch. Same thing with Wilt. Wilt scored 31,000 points. Nah, he's not taking the last shot. Oh, my God. Let's hit Richard in Manhattan. Fire the alarm. Richard! What's going on? It really does sound like the purge is about to begin. Hello, Richard.
Chris, John Havlicek won more championships than Patrick Ewing, Akeem Olajuwon, Oscar Robertson, Wilt Chamberlain, Jerry West, and Elgin Baylor.
That doesn't mean he was a better player than
Robertson. Combined.
Richard.
Combined.
Richard. It doesn't mean he was a, Richard. It doesn't mean that he was a better player than all of them. And he also...
Winning is the most important thing. That's how you transport errors. You can't say, I can't go back to school now and do what these kids are doing now. But at my time, I did what I had to do. Havlicek won. Number one is Bill Russell. 11 out of 13. Bill Russell could have done anything LeBron could do. Anything. He did things like block shots, leave it inbounds, led the fast break after that, and then put... Oh, incredible. These guys did what it took to win. That's all that matters. Now, as far as number one, it's Bill. And number two, I'll agree with you, Kareem.
Yeah, Bill Russell's not the greatest player of all time.
All time. All
no,
time.
He's
he
not.
Did what
no,
it took.
No, he's not. Yeah. He's, you can argue that he's the greatest winner of all time, but that doesn't make him
the winning.
That doesn't make him the greatest player of all time.
Okay. All
it's
right.
not like that. Listen,
okay.
the real determination, when people started to really put that in determining how great you are,
right.
then that really started to happen more when Jordan won his
six. It's a team game. It's a team game. It's not
of
like
course
baseball
it's a team
pitching.
Game. Of course it's a team game. So
and
you're putting both Havlicek and Russell in the top five when they were on the same team.
Chris,
you can't do that. That's my argument with Magic and Kareem. Chris, you can't do it.
Do you know the greatest trade in the history of sports?
I'm sure you're going to tell me.
Okay. The greatest trade in the four major sports was Dave DeBuscher coming to the Knicks in December of 1968. It directly led to two championships and a finals appearance in 3 out of 4 years. That was because...
That's not the greatest trade of all time. Richard,
we're
done tonight, Richard. We're done. We're done. We're done. We move on. It's not the greatest trade of all time. It's not. Seaver to the Reds? Yeah, maybe. We can go through... All Herschel Walker and all that gave to the Cowboys to build a championship. That's fine. I don't want to go through that. I don't want to do that tonight. You can't singularly make it about winning. As much as I love to make it about winning, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that LeBron's not the second greatest player of all time. If I was, I would be arguing that he's 3-5 in the finals. But he's also an incredible player. An incredible player. If it's singularly about winning, you're taking Wilt out of the top 10 when he only won twice? And Russell ate his lunch? I mean, come on. You can't do that. Omar's in East Brunswick. Omar, what's going on?
Hey, Carlin. How you doing?
Good, bud. How are you?
I'm doing great. So, Carlin, a couple things with this list. First of all, when I first saw it, my first look was obviously Kobe Bryant being number 9.
Yeah, that bugged the heck out of me.
Me too, because for years he's involved in the GOAT conversation as well. We all know Michael Jordan is the GOAT, but Kobe Bryant and LeBron James were the head people in the conversation as well. So to put him at 9, is anything below 5 is disrespectful. 9 is just absolutely... No words. It's disgusting. It really is. And then the next thing that bothered me was Steph Curry, as high as he was. Now, I think he's a very influential player, but not enough to be at 13 so far. I think that's way too high. And the one thing that really, really, really bothered me was, why is Giannis Antetokounmpo on this list?
Yeah.
Why?
It's probably too soon. I mean, he could be on the list, but I can't put him at 27. You know, I could put him in the top 74 of all time. I'm not putting him in the top third of all time already. I think that's unfair.
He's won one MVP. He has done nothing. I love Giannis. But to put him at 27, what are you thinking? I mean, the guy has done nothing to now. He's done nothing other than, I mean, yeah, he's won MVP. But nothing as in championships or things.
No,
like that.
But what they're pointing to with Giannis is his overall game and his incredible ability to not just, I mean, Giannis is the closest thing to LeBron that we've seen.
I agree.
You know, that's the closest thing to LeBron that we have seen.
Okay, the closest thing to LeBron, but still, Zion is the closest thing to LeBron also. Why didn't you
not
just
yet,
put him?
Not yet, not yet, not yet, not yet. I mean, no, you didn't, no. You got Giannis, who's averaging 28 a game and well into double digits in rebounds and probably 5 or 6 assists a game as well. No, absolutely not. Thanks for the call, Omar. Absolutely not. No. But Giannis can't be 27th on the list when he's really only been amazing, a great player, for about 4 years. You know, it was a gradual process through the first couple of seasons. You know, he wasn't averaging north of 20 until what? 2016, 2017, something like that. So, you know, now he's great, but you can't put him at 27th all time already. That's flat out ridiculous. How about Adam in Brooklyn? He's next on 98.7 ESPN. Adam, what's up, bud?
Hey, how's it going, Carlin, over there?
Good, how are you?
I don't know how in the world is Oscar Robertson not in the top 10?
It's a fair question, but here's what I would ask you. When you look at the top 10, who are you taking out?
You're picking an individual great player and what he did for his team and helped them to win.
No, I understand that. But who in the top 10 are you taking out for Oscar Robertson at 11? I mean, I'm kind of with you. And if I was going to make the argument, I would make the argument that I might put the Big O in front of Shaq because Shaq was just an incredible physical force. You know, I might put him in front of Shaq. He's right there in my eyes with Larry Bird, you know, and he obviously was the first guy to average the triple-double. But, you know, at 11, I don't think it's egregious. I think there's a discussion to be had.
Right. And also, has Kawhi not proven himself to be a great player that to be on the higher of this list? I mean, look what he's doing already to his career. If he goes and wins the Clippers, I would say he's in the conversation to be the greatest of all time also now.
You know, Kawhi on the list. Where do they have him on the list here? I need to take a closer look. Isaiah's at 31. Is he in the top 25? He is. He's at 25. Kawhi is, I don't think I can put him much higher than that right now for his entire career. I mean, he's had a great career, but I can't put him higher than that. Tremendous defensive player, but I'm not putting him there. You know, there's a lot of problems with this list. Like, he's got to be further down in, like, the 50 range.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Ed, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Chris?
How are you, bud?
Man, I'm all right. Considering, but I'm listening to this, and people are talking about, maybe people are going to kill me on this, but when you talk about Steph Curry being, I think when you talk about what a point guard is supposed to do, and I talk about, like, people kill me and say, oh, well, who would you rather have? The bottom line is Steph Curry's a great shooter. And when you think of the definition of a point guard, that's not what I want him to do. So if I have my point guard, I'm taking Gary Payton over him. I'm taking Jason Kidd over him. I'm taking Steve Nash over him. Because on the other side of the ball, as great as Steph Curry is, and I think that's what it is people get caught up in the hype of the three-pointer. But he gets hidden on defense. The reality is the best all-around player on that team might be Klay Thompson. Because the guy plays both sides of the ball, and he's always guarding their best wingman, which
which Steph Curry doesn't do, and he still gets his shot off. That's the part about Steph Curry that I don't understand. He's the greatest shooter we've ever seen. That's why he's going to be able to last in the league.
Right.
But I think we're putting him too far ahead. And to me, I think when the other caller said about putting Michael Jordan wouldn't be seventh or eighth, I'm like, oh, my God. That is insane. I think at worst, I think you can have an argument that Mike might be second. But it's still like that would be absurd to me.
It would be to me, too. Listen, and I know that people love LeBron, and it's not a knock on LeBron to say that Jordan was better. Here's the thing that elevates Jordan above LeBron. Two things, really. His incredible ability to raise the play of everybody else around him. I think LeBron does do that, but not at the same level as Jordan. But I think we're overlooking the fact that just in terms of being gifted with an incredible physical presence, you know, Jordan's not 6'9", 270 with ball handling ability like LeBron. Jordan was 6'6", and, you know, playing at 210, 215, 220. So if that's the case, you know, Jordan doing what he did was that much more impressive than LeBron. Jordan was not as blessed physically as LeBron was.
The only thing I will say in LeBron's defense is my friends laughed because I said, LeBron is basically a pallbearer. This guy would literally take a team that was dead and carry them. I mean, when he actually left that team, they're a lottery team. The one instance where you saw Michael leave and his team actually was a Hugh Holland foul, phantom foul, which I think being a Knicks fan, that was payback for Charles Smith, which is a Hugh Holland foul away from going to the finals. Now, I'm not saying that defines who's better, because me personally, I think LeBron is more people, like you said, Kobe was as close to Mike as we would ever get. But to me, LeBron is more Magic Johnson than anybody. And
I don't disagree with that. I think you could absolutely characterize him that way, Ed.
Yeah, I don't think, we're comparing apples and oranges. And the thing I think
LeBron is a better version of Magic. And LeBron is certainly a better shooter than Magic. And even, you know, the same size in terms of being 6'9", but LeBron just has a more physical body than Magic did. Magic's unbelievable. You know, the things that he did on the basketball court, and I know I've gone back to this a couple times, but the fact that he was able to step in a finals game as a rookie, when Kareem is hurt, and play center and score 42 to win a championship, I mean, you just don't see that. LeBron could do that, but you just don't see that now.
Yeah, I think that's the thing with LeBron is I think, and I'll be one of them. I can say I was one of them. I didn't like the decision and how it went down. And you can tell by the way that he probably wouldn't come out and say it, but in his actions, you could tell that he kind of regretted that. And going back to Cleveland, he kind of like made amends with everything. And winning that championship in Cleveland was pretty much huge.
Well, so, when it comes to LeBron, and thanks for the call, when he won that championship for Cleveland, it helped cement who he was. Because, frankly, I looked at the championships in Miami, and do I look at them as the same as others? When he first signed there, I absolutely thought that I would look at those championships differently. But given how the league is now, I don't. I really don't. I think they earned those championships. What he did in Cleveland was incredible. And he had Kyrie with him, yes. But, I mean, you think about an iconic defensive play of all time. And winning that title as they did, he delivered on his promise to a city that had not had a championship since the early 60s in any sport. Any sport. Stanley's in the Bronx next, 98.7 ESPN. Stanley, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? I just wanted to chime in. I don't know the list exactly, but Kawhi Leonard is number 25, correct?
Correct.
And people feel that that's a little bit too high. And I think that's just about right. If not, he should be a little bit higher. I mean, he's a two-time champion, two different teams, two-time finals MVP. The defense he played on LeBron James in that finals can be compared to the defense Scottie Pippen played on Magic Johnson. I mean, LeBron had a good finals. Don't get it twisted. But the defense he played, he had limited him so significantly in those finals. And he beat LeBron and is probably going to beat LeBron again to get to the finals if the season is played. Now, I can't say that because we don't know what's going to happen. But if he beats the second-best player or the third-best player ever to play the game twice to get to the finals and in the finals, I mean, that is significant right there.
I'll say this about Kawhi. I believe he's at 25 primarily because of his defense. He does everything else incredibly well, don't get me wrong. But when you factor in the defense with it, that's what elevates him to 25 in the minds of these guys. I look at some other players. For instance, as great as he is, it's hard for me to put Kawhi Leonard in front of Isaiah Thomas.
Listen, I can't. It's too early for that. It's too early. I'm not going to give him that.
But well, Isaiah Thomas on this list is at 31, so he's six spots behind Kawhi.
And I think that Isaiah should be higher. I don't think Kawhi should be lower, but I think Isaiah should be higher on that list. I mean, listen, when it all goes down, you can compare Scottie Pippen and Kawhi Leonard's game comparatively to each other when it's all said and done. I mean, the defense is there. Scottie's a better defensive player, but I think Kawhi is going to be a better offensive player. He's more efficient. His jump shot is definitely better. And listen, his handling things, listen, you can compare them.
You can compare them. No, I understand what you're saying, and I appreciate the call, Stanley. It's a good argument that you put forward. It's a very good argument. 25th of all time right now for Kawhi, just maybe it's one of those situations where it just has the feel of being a little bit too high, but you have to look at it a little closer. Is Kawhi better than Dwayne Wade? Is Kawhi better than Allen Iverson? Is Kawhi better than Nash? Is Kawhi better than John Havlicek, Jason Kidd? I mean, those are the guys that we're talking about that are in the neighborhood just behind him. Some of them, yes. Some of them, same level. Kawhi's a great, great player. But he is where he is because when you add the defense in, that elevates him to a top 25 player on this list.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
I hesitate to take this call, but I will. G in the Bronx is up.
Hey, what's up? All right, let me ask you this, because the top 24 got me to think about this, because I always have this argument. My argument is James Harden is the best offensive player to ever live. Now, a lot of people tell me Kobe and Michael Jordan, but when we break it down from shooting mid-range, okay, I'll give Kobe and Michael. Going to the basket, dunking, I'll give them that too. Layup package, I'll even give you that. But I feel James Harden has a better layup package. When it comes to three-point shots, when it comes to actually drawing fouls and scoring from the free throw line, when it comes to actually IQ with passing and to the open man, and when it comes to just pure dribbling, better handle, James Harden has all of that better than anyone, I would say. I was speaking to the person before I got to you, and he was talking about Steph Curry got a better jump shot and Allen Iverson, but not all around. James Harden is the greatest offensive player to live.
Yeah, no. And here's why. I get where you're coming from, and you make a good argument. But you can't say that James Harden is the greatest offensive player that ever lived when you have players, Kobe put up the same numbers, exact same numbers, and you have guys who are scored a ton more than him. I mean, Kareem easily put up the same numbers that he did and had the most unstoppable shot that there ever's been. Larry Bird for his career averaged the same numbers. You look at Kobe. You can look at other great offensive players. I mean, I can make the argument that Pete Maravich is the greatest offensive player to ever play the game.
He is before my time, but I give him all credit as well.
He's before my time, too. But I've seen highlights. I understand.
But my argument is, like, when you break down these games, I mean, each and every one of these players' games, James Harden does it much better than everyone. If somebody averages more points, that's not my argument. My argument, he's the best offensive player to ever live. Not the best scorer to ever live, if you get what I'm saying.
No, I get what you're saying. And that's why I said, you make an interesting argument. You make an interesting argument because James Harden's offensive game is absolutely tremendous. But you yourself, and I appreciate the call, already gave up a few aspects of it to Jordan and to Kobe. So when you're doing that and those guys are on the same level everywhere else, Jordan could do whatever he wanted to do virtually whenever he wanted to do it. I mean, think about the 92 finals with Clyde, right? Clyde's there saying Jordan and I are the best two in the league. And Jordan's annoyed by the fact that Clyde is putting the two of them in the same discussion. So Jordan goes out and works on his three-point shot the day before the game and buries six threes in the first half and looks over at Magic, who he had told the day before, I'm crushing this guy. I'm destroying him. That's what Jordan could do. That's what will make him the greatest player of all time and the greatest offensive player of all time. Okay? You want to talk about the overall game? It's still Jordan. It still is. Harden, you make good points. I'll give you that. You make good points. I can't put him there yet. I will say that Harden's step back three is potentially one of the top two or three unstoppable shots in the game today. That step back three is virtually impossible to stop. Brian and Bayonne next on 98.7 ESPN. Brian, what do you got, bud?
Hey, Chris. What's up, man? Glad to hear you again.
Thank you.
So I've been calling you like the past couple of weeks and it's been, you know, talking about the Jets and Sam Darnold and everything. And so, because you were talking about Daniel Jones before, and it made me laugh, because I was like, if they bring Romo to train him, that the Giants fans, so with all due respect, my neighbor fans, they should run this guy out of town.
Dan Marino coming to help Darnold.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. This guy, you know, used to get, you know, destroyed in MetLife, you know, back in the days and throwing interception. He holds onto the ball, you know, too long. But anyways, I want to get back to Darnold.
Oh, Romo?
Yeah, Darnold. Romo used to hold on to the ball a little too long.
Yeah, but Romo was a great quarterback.
No, he wasn't great. He was good.
No, he was a great player. He's a great player. Go look at his career.
He's very smart, and I'm not gonna bring him down. He's very smart. I'll give him that. But anyways, back to my Darnold point. In that draft, right? I thought we were gonna get Baker, and then I was like, if we don't get Baker, I'll settle for Josh Allen because he has that rifle arm, and I was excited about, you know, him too. But we got Darnold, and I'm not going to turn my back on him. I still trust him. But one thing is that, like you said, I feel real comfortable this year, Chris, because now, like you said, he's in this system again with Gase. And like I told you the other day, I feel like Gase is going to unleash that playbook. He has to. He has to give this kid the chance. Just chuck it, run the ball, and let him be himself and let him become a star. Like, that's it. You know, it's time already for this kid. We can't wait more any longer.
This is a huge year. This is a massive year for him, and that's why I've been blown away by people that get upset when I say something like that. It doesn't have to do with the fact that he's been limited in what he's had his first 2 years. He has been. We all agree on that. But it does have to do with developing. So you can't treat it as if those first 2 years didn't happen. You know, you have to treat it as if it's somebody that's expected to get better now that he has other people around him. Any quarterback, any player is expected to be better than they were the year before or the year before that as a rookie. That's just what it is. So if you want to see a quarterback be great, what's wrong with asking him to improve?
Yeah, I mean, he was running for his life a lot. I mean,
I understand that, but would you agree there are a lot of aspects of his game that can improve?
Yes, for sure, always.
That's all I'm saying.
And the bad throws, like those little, like sometimes, like those are the things that worry me. And I told you last time that, like, that he, when he doesn't learn from the mistakes, like he keeps throwing those, like that Patriots game. I almost passed out. I was, you know, destroyed. I almost cried that day.
Well, the Taylor game, the Patriots game last year was brutal.
The
Patriots game, I mean, I don't blame him for saying he was seeing ghosts. And thanks for the call. He never had a hope in hell in that game. He just had no shot. No shot. That was unfair for him. And I know people made such a big deal about him saying it. Look, he was completely within his rights to say that when you look at what he was dealing with that game. There were guys unblocked all over the place. He had no idea where anything was coming from. Sam in Marlboro up next. Sam, what's going on?
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sammy. How are you, bud?
Good. It was a great show, honestly. But when that guy started talking about Harden, like, how could you not mention the amount of times? It's disgusting how much the offense, it's an anomaly, runs through him. If you look at the stats.
Well, it doesn't run through him. It stops with him.
it begins, the alpha and the omega, stops, ends, it's everything. So the stats can be, like, you know, inflated. And D'Antoni's known for that. He's revived careers. It's just such a great match. And so that's why, like, I think the guy really was, nah. And two, with regards to the Jets, I'm calling it right now, Rookie of the Year, Denzel Mims. I'm telling you, it's the biggest steal of the draft I think I've ever seen him in, like, over a decade drafting. He's going to be something special. Just watch.
I hope so. I hope you're right. He's a guy that a lot of people thought was a first-round pick, and thanks for the call. The issues that he's had have been drops in the past. That's concerning. And it needs to be a better route runner. And when you come from the Baylor offense, there's not a lot of intricacies. You only need to run three or four different routes and do those well. Otherwise, you know, it's so wide open. They can do a lot of different things. So when that's the case, they can do a lot of different things when you're only running a few different routes. When you get to the NFL, you have to be a lot more precise. Those are a couple of areas where he's going to have to be better. But I agree. I think he's got the ability to be terrific. I really do. Alex, upstate New York, next, 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Alex.
How you doing, Chris? Hope you are staying safe during this pandemic. You know, a lot of things have happened with this pandemic where domestic violence have gotten big, and so has drug abuse. That caller who said James Harden, the best scorer, is abusing drugs.
I don't know about that. No, his point was his overall offensive game. His overall offensive game. And I'm not saying he's right. He's not. Okay. He makes a good point that Harden might be underrated with his ability to score a lot of different ways. And we all just sit there and look and watch the step back three and think about that. But the guy gets to the rim, gets to the foul line an incredible amount. He is a tremendous offensive player. Is he the best of all time? No, of course not.
The guy gets an incredible leniency with the refs. That's why he's at
he's earned that
line so much.
He attacks the rim enough where he has earned that.
He's found the loophole in dribbling, so it allows him to get that separation. But other than that, the guy disappears at the end of the regular season. His stats no longer mean anything or do anything for him or his team at all. Kobe always elevated his game once it came to the end of the season slash playoffs. Same thing with Jordan. Harden shouldn't even be in the top 10 consideration for scoring.
Well, I mean, scoring is different. It's talking about the offensive game, not scoring. There's a little difference there in how he does it. That was the point he was trying to make. But listen, he is not a top 10 player of all time. He's not on the list that way. He's in the 30s, I believe, or in the 40s, and that's where he should be, frankly. I need to double check that, but he's not one of those, that level of player of all time. And thanks for the call. That's the thing to remember. His point was the way he does it is underrated. Now, his point was trying to say the greatest of all time. That's just not true. That's not true. But I understand what he's thinking about there when he suggested. Harden is number 32 on the list. Like, I don't know that I could put Harden in front of John Havlicek. You know, do I want to put Harden in front of what Jason Kidd was? Do I want to put Harden in front of Patrick Ewing? That's tough. But he's a great player. There's no getting around that. 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. Open lines for you on this debate. The top 74 NBA players of all time. And also the fact that Tony Romo is going to be helping out the Giants an awful lot this season by helping out Daniel Jones.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.